Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good afternoon and welcome in to WEEI Afternoons. Andy Hart here alongside Nick Fitzy Stevens. Occasionally on this show, I have a slip of the tongue. Nick, we both
occasionally?
Do. Yeah, we both do. It's a, when you talk for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, you tend to stumble, bumble, misspeak occasionally. Sometimes you might drop an F-bomb here.
I usually get out over my word skis and mispronounce things.
Yeah, it happens.
Botch a name or two, or you just, you know, your thoughts crash into the English language on the way out to a commercial.
Yep.
Side note, or rather, I'm actually very happy. I'm not sure necessarily where you're going with this, but I just want to say for the record, my 12-year-old son heard his dad use bad language out loud yesterday for our friend Will Fleming at the end of the Red Sox game, because I was so... I was on my way to AC/DC, had an undefeatable Sunday, except for the fact that I had to sit in the car for 2 hours and listen to the Red Sox absolutely squander the most winnable game ever, continuing to establish their indifference towards being awesome this year, Andy. It is infuriating.
So last week at one point, one of my stumbles was I accidentally called the bullpen the blue pen and not the color blue. B-L-E-W, and they continue to blow things, and that's mostly leads and games. And
qualify.
You know, it's okay. Don't get your mind out of the gutter. But what you do need to get your mind around, Fitzy, is a defense, because I can remember not too long ago where I was listening to Nick Fitzy Stevens tell me how great Whitlock was, how great Slayton was. You want to explain yourself? You got anything to say for yourself?
Yeah, we went out to Whit and Slate went out to dinner last night, and I picked up the tab, even though they have more money than me, and I told them that it just wasn't going well, and that we were gonna have to start seeing other people.
Yeah, they what
I was like, how do you guys feel about an open relationship? Because I've loved you from close, up close, and from afar, but you guys do nothing but hurt me. And why do you feel the need to hurt me every time we get together like this? I mean. And stop hitting, like, what is it? Is it Command C and then Command V? Like, it is just copy and paste,
yep.
Copy and paste. Whitlock good for the first inning. Whitlock in the second inning. Craps the bed. Uh-oh, now the game's in the balance. Here comes Slayton. Oh, that bed that's full of crap. Let's just fill it with some more. It was, and Will Fleming, legit, like, he was yelling at the Red Sox yesterday on the radio broadcast, Andy, like a disappointed parent. Like, he was scolding them. He was just like, how are they doing this? Another blown save. This is a winnable ball game. You jerks. He may have not said you jerks, but I think he wanted to.
So we're starting Red Sox here because they're trending in the wrong direction. They are a maddeningly mediocre baseball team. I have some optimism. We'll get to the optimism a little bit later. You may have heard it before. It's similar to some optimism I had a couple weeks ago when they were in a downstretch. But 617-779-7937. I need somebody to explain to me this bullpen, because I thought it was going to be an issue coming into the year, although I thought it was going to be the closer. It's the root of my Mason Miller lust. Get Mason Miller here. You'll fix the closer position. Because if you remember, Fitzy, The closer of this baseball team was Liam Hendricks. That's what we were told in spring training until he spit the bit. Wasn't very good. Chapman took the bull by the horns. He won the job. That's great. And he's been very good. And there were portions of this short season, this, what are we, about a fifth of the way through the year, where the bullpen was very good. And your guy Slayton was the balls, and Whitlock's awesome, and two innings from him, and oh my God, they're so... Now they stink. Now the Red Sox have the worst record in baseball in one-run games, 4-9. A lot of that because of the bullpen. And the bullpen is blowing games for starters. Giolito, debut, should have been fun, wasn't, right? Hauk gets it back on track. Hauk's angry. Hauk goes out there, and he's going to prove it to the world. He did, but he can't feel that good because the bullpen blows it, and now you have them blowing a mediocre performance from your pig. We'll get into that a little bit later, I think.
He did take a ball off the face yesterday. Baseball.
Okay.
It was a glancing blow.
Yeah, it was a glancing
blow.
But
still,
Dick Raddatz is like, I did that three times a game in my day.
I know. Bryce Flory's like, bro, you have no idea what this is like. Tanner Houck is like, I don't know if I've ever been the same since. But the diminished, the inaccuracy, like he wasn't able to just like continuously hammer the zone yesterday. That was before the baseball glanced his cheek. You know, shout out to him almost achieving legend status for staying in the game and trying to pitch through it. But the decreased volume concern. I mean, what wasn't there yesterday to be concerned about? Crochet was having a hard time hammering the zone. The decreased velocity from your stud pitcher, said Pig on the mound as well. The offense going to sleep when the team needed them desperately when the bullpen blew it again. And, of course, the aforementioned performance by the blowtorch brigade, as my dad used to call the bullpens of the late 80s and early 90s of the Red Sox.
And I'm glad you brought up the offense because a lot of people from afar are going to fixate on the bullpen. Mm-hmm. I've even heard...
That's an easy thing to do. Just blame the bullpen.
Even heard growing rumblings of Cora discontent. You got the big bucks. Now what are you doing about it? You set the expectations for this team. Now what are you doing about it? You're a 500 baseball team. Maybe you're even mismanaging the bullpen a little bit. Although I think those have been few and far between. I think guys have just not gotten the job done in the back end of the pitching staff and the bullpen for him. But the offense, this offense is starting to annoy me. This offense that kind of thinks this is a high school baseball game where you only have to play six or seven innings and not nine. They have multiple times here as part of this whole blowing of leads and losing one-run games. We're done. We scored our four runs. We scored our five runs. We scored our six runs, right? You were up 6-0 in the sixth of a game, and it's like they put the offense. No, you're not done. You're not done till the fat lady sings and the final whistle blows. And I know there's neither in baseball, but you know what I mean, right?
No. The only thing that blows is having a chance right now. They are a thoroughly mediocre team in every aspect. They are 18-18. They are now almost four games away from being 25% through the season. You are an 18-18 team. Andy, with the one-run games, the Red Sox being 4-9 with this now all-too-familiar and infuriating script, let's say you just flip four of those. Let's say you're only 8-5 in one-run games, which would be good. You know, good to not – I wouldn't even say very good, but that would be – good. It'd definitely be better. All of a sudden, instead of 18-18, they would be 22-14, and we would be talking about all the differences that this team made in the offseason. Like, wow, Bregman, the youth movement is on. Unreal. Alex Cora finally given all the tools he needs to cook in his kitchen. And instead, it's, what's wrong with the defense? What's wrong with the bullpen? Where's the offense? What's going on? Does this team, how much help does this team need right now? The answer is a lot.
A lot of help, and the needs are only growing. We're going to get into this as the show goes on, but Tristan Casas suffered a devastating injury over the weekend, a torn patella tendon, trying to beat out a play at first base, one that actually had, it was weird to watch, and I'm with Will Fleming on this. It looked like his right leg did something funny, right knee, right ankle, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, it's actually his left knee when he took off for the base, not the one that came down on the base. And this is a massive injury for Tristan Casas, first and foremost, and he was right. You know, there was a little exchange there where Will Fleming, I was listening to the broadcast, said, Cora said, you'll be okay. And Casas said, no, I won't. Like, he knew it was a bad injury. And
how do you rupture, like, just stumbling over everything about it, too, by the way. You know, far be it from me as a professional klutz and not a professional athlete in any way, shape, or form to criticize another man's injury or misstep. But everything about it just seemed like so clunky. Like, just the way he was running up the base path, stepping to the inside, stepping on the guy's foot, the way he fell. I don't know. Like, you want to just talk about a damned season. Didn't this just feel from the misspeak about Devers, and when I say misspeak, he knew what he was saying, but it was the wrong thing to say at the wrong time, to the way that people felt about him after watching the clubhouse, to the ice-cold start, and now this? What a god-awful, forgettable 2025 at large for Tristan Casas.
Oh, so now it seems like you need optimistic Andy to swoop in. And you know him. He's the superhero that saves this show occasionally from the negativity that Fitzy likes to spew 2-6 every single day. It just it beats you down sometimes. So everything right now, there's issues. You mentioned it. Just across the board, the health is a question mark. The lineup can't go 9 innings, as Dan Ball tells us. First 3 innings, they average 282. Last 3 innings, 247. So it's not just our eyeballs. The numbers from Dan Ball back up the fact that this team doesn't hit as well. When, you know, you get the third time through the order, you get to the bullpen, as it should. Tristan Casas is hurt. There's all these things piling up. And yet, Fitzy, as I often like to do to put things in perspective over a 162-game schedule, I like to just check out the standings. And the damnedest thing, New York Yankees are indeed in first place, 19-15. Second place at 18-18. You know that team? That'd be your Boston Red Sox, Fitzy. Just 2 games back of first place. So even with all these ups and downs, and the bullpen's good, the bullpen's not, the pitching staff is good, the pitching staff's not, Giolito's in, this guy's out, all of it, all of these things, nothing from first base. Sorry, Tristan Casas, this isn't about your injury right now. First base, a guy who's supposed to be 40-120, has given you virtually nothing this year.
He's given us something. He's given us, content, conversation pieces, grief, grievance. Yeah, he gave us all that.
So. And he'll continue to give us that, because we're going to have to figure out what the team should do in the wake of this Tristan Casas injury. How do you fix first base? They don't seem to have a plan B or a backup plan. But in the wake of all of that, Fitzy, you're 2 games out? You're just 2 games out with plenty of reason to find optimism, whether that optimism is in the minor leagues. You advocated last week, got to find a way to get some of these young guys up here. Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, get them up here. You need a spark. Maybe you get a spark from one of them. I don't know. Maybe you get Rafi Devers to go on one of those runs in May that Rafi Devers is capable of. Maybe the pig gets back to being a pig. Maybe the rotation, maybe Walker Buehler only has a little soreness and inflammation and he comes back and the rotation falls in line. I don't know. There's plenty of reason for optimism. You're 2 games out. You're 2 games out of first place. So you're fortunate. The rest of the division isn't that good, because right now you're not a wild card team, even though you're in second place in the AL East.
I can't believe with the number of games they've squandered that they're yet still only 2 games out. That speaks more to, I guess, the mediocrity of the AL East this year.
Yep.
And the fact that other teams can't seize upon the opportunity. The Sox are lucky that guys like Giancarlo Stanton are basically out for the year with double elbow tendonitis, because if they had one more thunderous bat in that Yankee lineup, and I wouldn't put it past them trading for one, if the Red Sox continue urinating on their own shoes, then the Yankees could be pulling away from you early on when you have more than enough talent to keep up with them. I don't understand what this team, like, the thing that's really making me nuts, Andy, is everything seems like, when will there be a greater sense of urgency about the team? Well, it's a long season. Baseball's, I know.
Yeah, it's a marathon, losses, not a sprint.
These losses continue to count as much as the other ones.
Well, that's an allusion back to our guy Cora. That's a little negative tone there. Hint back to Friday, where we ended the show bitching about the fact that he said, well, yeah, I would have walked Vladdy in Toronto if it had been the World Series or the ALCS.
That has aged like cottage cheese in a car backseat in July.
That's one where honesty was the best approach. He should have just said, yeah, I screwed up. Yeah, I make a lot of decisions. You know, we got 162 games. We got 9 innings, sometimes extra innings. I make hundreds of decisions on a daily basis. Every once in a while, I screw up a decision. I screwed that one up. And everybody would have said, oh, okay. I can't really argue with that. I can't really criticize that.
In true Alex Cora fashion and style, just like, you know, that one was on me. In hindsight, you know, I wanted Slate to get the experience, but at the same time, you know, considering the previous outcome, I probably should have erred on the side of caution as opposed to throwing it to the wind, because it cost him a game.
It did, but even with that game that it cost him, they're 2 games out. Even with all this negativity swirling, 2 games out. And you're right. Could the Yankees go on a run? Could the Yankees make a move? And that's where we're going to get into as this first fifth of the season turns into a quarter, turns into a third, and we reach the point where Craig Breslow told us it's now time to start admitting what your baseball team is and seeing how you can fix it, seeing how you can change it. Does he do that? Do they fix some of these issues? Do they plug some of these holes? Do they have a dream like I have a dream of Mason Miller, and that fixed the bullpen because Chapman then becomes set up and it bumps everybody down a roll? I don't know. There's going to be a lot of questions for Craig Breslow and the Boston Red Sox.
It's like I get paid in Gansetts and you get paid in Mason Millers with the number of times you mention this guy on every radio show.
It's my dream. It's my dream. It's a little. I get one of these guys with every team. Like Miles Turner was that guy for the Celtics and the NBA for a while. There was like 3 years running where I thought everything that would cure the Celtics was named Miles Turner.
Was a giant person that played for the Pacers.
Yeah, and could shoot threes and was versatile and block shots and all of that. But now, Mason Miller, I think, would make a lot of things. Or it's closer to home. It's out in Worcester. It's homegrown talent. Maybe that's what they need. You know, Alex Cora talked a lot last year about being a young baseball team and those guys playing meaningful games and that would help in the future. Maybe they need to get younger, not older right now. Maybe they need a youth movement because those guys don't know what they don't know. Christian Campbell, just a quick correction. He is one of the best players on the team and in baseball right now, correct?
That would be correct, sir.
So youth doesn't always mean hindrance. Youth doesn't always mean not ready for the big show. Sometimes youth is just good and energetic and injects life into a baseball team or any team, any sport. So your argument that maybe they just need to inject some life into this team from Worcester is a solid argument because right now it does feel like they need something because at some point I'm not going to look at them losing a couple games in a row and blowing a couple games and then look at the standings and go, oh, they're only two games back. At some point you keep doing that, Fitzy, you'll be four games back. You'll be six games back. And all of a sudden you won't be in position to get hot, strike, surpass the Yankees. So right now they're getting away with it. I guess that's how I would describe this baseball team. They're getting away with it.
But that's nothing to brag on. Like, that's nothing to be proud of. Like, oh, we've played some pretty bad baseball at times. We have not been clutch. Tonally, emotionally, we seem to be flatter than Kyrie Irving's earth half the time. Oh. Great. You know, and yet still they're only a couple of games out. I want the urgency. I want the energy. I need something to freshen this team. Like, the Bregman movement was great in at the end of the winter, into the spring, down in Florida, early season. He has been awesome. He's been worth every single penny of his overpaid $40 million a year contract, no doubt. After that, I'm not getting a lot from anyone. Christian Campbell, yes, he could be part of the solution as well, as I know we can engage with the audience soon and offer up some solutions for what to do with the first base problem. And I will just say this. If the answer to any problems involves the names Gonzalez, Hamilton, or Ref Snyder, I am out.
I don't think a lot of people are going to be advocating for those options, but you're right, Fitzy. We need to talk about first base. We need to talk coldly, unfortunately, about Tristan Casas. He is part of the past right now. I don't know where his Red Sox career goes from here, coming back from a torn patella. I don't know if it's over, but for right now, the Boston Red Sox need to figure out, A, how to be a better baseball team, and B, what the heck they're going to do at first base. 617-779-7937. Do you just move a certain power-hitting former third baseman to first base? Do you call up a young player? Do you do as Fitzy alluded to, and also Cora and Breslow kind of alluded to, do you just get past it for a couple days with some less than appetizing options? What should the Boston Red Sox do at first base after this huge injury to Tristan Casas? That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, the voice of college lacrosse everywhere, has what's trending.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For something I've never heard before, I kind of like this. Obviously, a Cinco de Mayo reference there from Stiz. Who is this?
That's my boy, Superstar Snuck, one of the best rappers in Massachusetts.
What was that second word? Superstar what?
Snuck. Snuck. Like Superfly Jimmy Snuck.
Oh, okay. I like it.
Did it bring a pizza with me to the movies, so I snuck it in.
Hey, there you go, man.
It is indeed Cinco de Mayo. Will you be celebrating tonight, Fitzgerald?
Indeed, actually. Major taco time during the Celtics game.
Let's go. Taco Monday. Cinco de Mayo.
Hey, quick question. When it's taco night at Shea Hart, what's the favorite? Are we talking like pulled chicken? Are we doing like ground beef?
Traditional ground beef with soft tacos generally, unless we get creative. Sometimes we get creative and do either the option, the split, soft tacos and hard shell, or you make your at-home, whatever
double
you
decker,
call those.
Yes.
Yeah, where you wrap the
from Taco Bell?
Yeah. You put a little cheese whiz on it, then you put the hard shell inside, sticks together, you fill it up, and boom, there it is.
Little al pastor, by the way, the slow-braised pork with a little pineapple, hard to beat.
So that's a little bit more upscale. It's much easier to just show up at home with a pound of ground beef, throw it in a frying pan, and like 10 minutes later, you got Taco
later,
Tuesday.
It's taco time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stiz, we don't have time for you to bitch about tacos.
Oh, big,
not
big taco.
We
big Andy,
don't have
big
time.
Taco is screwing the man. That's fine. We don't have to get into it now, but you know I have a point. Big taco
what
is screwing
your point?
The
hold
man.
On. All right.
We don't have time right now. This is going to be a long form. This is like a Friday expanded grab bag. Stiz has a long standing feud with tacos. We'll get into it another time.
I don't get it. Long tacos are incredible.
He's a moron.
They are?
The only answer is he's a moron. But we'll get to this another day. He'll defend himself. He'll go at Big Taco. But 617-779-7937. We're talking about Tristan Casas's season-ending, career-altering injury, torn patella tendon. Since you heard that soundbite from Craig Breslow, he's indeed undergone surgery to repair it. He has extensive rehab. This is one of the worst injuries that's out there right now, Fitzy. I mean, the Achilles is still one that is difficult to come back from. This is worse than that. It doesn't happen a lot. It's more frequent in NFL, but even in the NFL, it doesn't happen a lot. This is a big guy with a big rehab from a big injury ahead of him.
A 10-month rehab, like that's certain,
oh, yeah.
Like you're watching Steph Diggs now, less than 6 months. Now, he's obviously in super good shape and an elite athlete, unlike Casas, who we were all wondering if he was or wasn't out of shape, let alone not taking the best care of himself. He just looked unfit when he tumbled to the ground as well. This is going to be an extremely difficult rehab. And you have to wonder what his overall demeanor, mood, just optimism or lack thereof is like right now. Like, he must just be beside himself.
He's going to need a pep talk, because he was right when Cora said, you'll be okay, and he said, no, I won't. He was right. And I don't know. This is, if he's listening, I would prefer he not be listening right now. I don't think he'll ever be the same. I don't think he'll ever get back to whatever 100% is. There is going to be a deficit in his athletic ability coming back from this. This is a massive injury for Tristan Casas, and he's going to need to have good mental and physical support around him moving forward with his career in baseball. But the Red Sox have a much swifter decision to make. They need to bounce back from this immediately. They have the day off today. They have a game tomorrow. The season goes on. They need to figure out what they're doing at first base. We are going to give our plans in a minute, Fitzy. Your first ideal plan.
Optimal plan.
Optimal plan for first base. You'll give yours. I'll give mine. We'll check in with Dan Ball, the boys behind the glass. But first, I want to check in with the phone lines because they're already locked and loaded. 617-779-7937. And I am going to go longest wait, so we'll go to our guy Coach in New Hampshire.
Coach!
What are your thoughts on this Tristan Casas situation with the Red Sox?
Hey, guys. Great show as always. I feel real bad for Tristan Casas, but I'm about to give you my plan that's going to plug in the enthusiasm for our Boston Red Sox.
All right,
number one, I do not want to play a player in any position that doesn't want to play there. So the Rafi idea, forget it. And by the way, even if he took a million ground balls, he's not going to be good at first base. He's not a very good fielder. Here's how we plug it in. Campbell at first. We put Marcelo Meyer at second. Forget, like Fitzy says, forget the ref Snyders of the world. We're going to go in left field. We're going Roman Anthony, Duran with his speed in center, Abreu in right. And we're going to use Rafaela, the odd man out, as a late-inning outfield defender. That's my plan. That's what's going to get people excited, and that's what's going to get us off this damn 500 record.
Thanks for the call, Coach.
Oh, my God. Coach should be the coach.
I don't know about that. I totally disagree with the coach. Yes, Dan Ball?
I'm in on this one. And Brian brought this up yesterday morning, so I got to give him credit for throwing this out there, too.
Brag.
Campbell is 6'3", which he's giving up an inch to Tristan Casas, but like Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, they're in that 6'3 to 6'4 range, so good frame for a first baseman. And you can already tell, based on them playing Campbell in the outfield, they're not sold on him being a second baseman to begin with. So if you can do it early and find a good spot for him so he doesn't have to show off his average to below average range all that much, I'm in on this.
So you think Christian Campbell could be a long-term first baseman, not just like settle in at first base? We're not putting you there to fill in for Casas. We're putting you there because you might be there for the next 5 years.
I just think we're in the long-term conversation at this point. You're missing him for a year at minimum. And even when he comes back, the reports that are out there, they're diminishing returns on this kind of injury. And he already seemed like he had one foot out the door. So I feel like we're talking about more than just a stopgap here.
That is a side topic. We were a month away from having this conversation anyway, essentially. You know, we were going to get to Memorial Day. And unless he got hot, we're going to be talking about what do the Red Sox do at first base, because Craig Breslow, glad you were talking there, although you didn't answer the biggest question, why'd you not have a plan B? Why didn't you have a backup plan for Tristan Casas, who missed the bulk of last year with an injury and has never established himself as a long-term player at the big league level? How did you not have a plan B? But we'll get to that in a minute. Fitzy, we'll get to your plan in a minute. So we have Coach on the table. Coach's plan is on the table. It revolves around Christian Campbell playing first base for the Boston Red Sox. Let's go back to the phone lines. 617-779-7937. Paul in New Hampshire has a plan for first base. Paul, what is your plan?
My plan is very simple. We put Meyer at shortstop, and we move Trevor Story to first base. And now you've got the opportunity, as Coach said, to put Roman Anthony in the outfield and a late inning replacement in our current center fielder.
All right, thanks for the call, Paul. So we have two phone calls, Fitzy, two very different plans, not very different. Both of them involve moving starting middle infielders to first base. Christian Campbell either bumps over one spot or Trevor Story just bumps over from shortstop. Both involve Marcelo
Meyer.
And
I like that too. Now, see, I like the Story one. My buddy Murph had suggested the same thing on Saturday. Trevor Story is not, you know, this isn't Omar Vizquel. Like, we're not talking about, or Julio Lugo, like the classic idea of you know, someone who's slightly larger than a horse jockey, but is super speedy and has elite range. Trevor Story is a big dude. He almost looks the part of like somebody who could play first base. But coach, so I like that plan. I like that plan. I like it a lot. However, my plan is actually, it's almost like the coach was in my head, because my plan is the coach plan. I 100% support moving Christian Campbell, who they are certainly uncertain about defensively, considering that he doesn't look to be a natural born second baseman. They've already played him a bunch in the outfield. First base is easier. Obviously, it'll help him acclimate to the game a little bit quicker, because he'll have a little bit less to worry about defensively, and he can focus on his freakish athleticism and his elite offense. Meyer has played third, short, second, everywhere, in spring training, in Worcester, wherever. So put him in at second base for the time being. If and when Trevor Story gets hurt, now you can slide Marcelo Meyer over to shortstop, something that he will probably end up Wally Pipping Trevor Story out of in the first place. It's a win-win situation. And the fact that he doubled down and said, you know what, Seidan Rafaela is going to be my defensive super sub slash everywhere I need you to be guy. You know what? So if he's a well-compensated, younger, speedier version of Brock Holt for this team, so be it. Every team could use somebody like that, but that brings Meyer and Anthony up. And Andy, you press play on the future now. You quit pussyfooting around, and you get going with these kids that are more than ready. You heard me. I said pussyfoot.
And you popped your P on it when you said it. That was a hard P right there that you led with. That made it sound weirder and dirtier, because you're actually allowed to say that anywhere you want. You can
pussyfoot's one of the great words of the English language that does not get used often enough.
Because you can say it at a preschool, and it's fine.
Right.
I mean, they'll be a little hesitant when they first hear the first few letters.
You'll get some looks.
Yeah, you will. Like, but saying lollygag, which is also another great underused word, just doesn't apply. Like, quit lollygag? No, quit pussyfooting around.
Okay, so we have Fitzy's plan on the table. It's basically coach's plan. I'll continue to let the bad plans pile up before I unveil my perfect plan to solve all that ails the first base issue. But let's go back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Justin in Washington, D.C. has a plan for the Red Sox. What's your plan, Justin?
Yeah, gents, just before my plan, real quick, I think we need to all understand that Craig Breslow is to blame, because he doesn't have a bullpen. This bullpen sucks. It's Chapman and two Rule 5 guys that he was relying on, and you need four high-leverage arms. He came into the season with one, so now you have to out-hit teams, and you can't do it with only five hitters in the lineup. So I immediately benched Trevor Story. I sent him with Masataka Yoshida to witness protection. I bring up Marcelo Meyer, put him at shortstop, move Devers to first base, call up Anthony and DH him and platoon him in left field with Jaren Duran. And the plan is, folks, we got to mash the ball and out hit teams to win, because Craig Breslow is the Elliott Wolf of baseball presidents.
Thanks for the call, Justin. That was
a solid call, Justin.
Solid is underselling it. That's a great call, because I've noticed the opportunity here. So we're asking, what should the Red Sox do at first base? And most people are taking this as an opportunity to reconfigure the entire lineup, the defensive makeup, the entire backbone of this baseball team in multi-step moves. I don't know if I like that or dislike that. I also like how he put it all on Craig Breslow. We're just talking about first base, but this came back on Craig Breslow, the bullpen, and that's the reality of that position. This is his baseball team. Cora will get blamed for utilizing what was put in front of him, but this is Craig Breslow's baseball team, and it had a hole at least either at first base or at least plan B at first base. Yes, Dan Ball.
Yeah, he's the one that's responsible for not having wherever you can turn to at seemingly this one position. Seems like everywhere else there are two or three different options you can go to, but first base, not one of them.
And it's the Rule 5 thing as well. Like, you know, Garrett, everyone thinks Garrett Whitlock is a stud, and the team's brilliant for snatching away a Rule 5 guy like him from the Yankees when he pitches really well. I'm stunned that he's had these consecutive bad outings like that, because he's usually been money for this team. I've told you a million times, that's right-handed Andrew Miller. You can deploy him a million different ways. I don't understand why he's nails in the first inning and then the coffin in the second inning. It's really, really, really strange. And Slayton, this has got to be in his head, because he's just leaving ball. He's got enough arm talent to be able to get three outs. I don't understand why he's just hanging cheese for these guys to come in and knock around the park.
617-779-7937. Continuing to take your calls on what the plan at first base should be post Tristan Casas. Is it Devers? Is it Campbell? Is it Meyer? Is it Anthony? Is it Story? Is it somebody else? Would it be a bigger shakeup than just first base? All that and more, as well as the identity of the Boston Red Sox that's developing, and it's not one that I think is a good one. That's up next here on WEEIF.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Janoons. Red Sox manager Alex Cora talking about the season-ending injury suffered in the left knee patella tendon tear, Tristan Casas, on Saturday. He has since undergone surgery, and his future, if we're being bluntly honest, I guess, is very much in doubt with the Boston Red Sox. I don't know if you'll ever see him play first base for this team again. I don't know what his opportunities will be in big league baseball. This is a major injury for a guy that was already dealing with some questions about how good is he. He was slumping and last year, and now his durability. And I didn't know this. Apparently, he also had some durability issues in the minors. I wasn't really privy to all of that. Mm. So it's really an unfortunate turn for love him or hate him. And I don't really care which end of that spectrum you're on with all his idiosyncrasies. This is just a hellacious injury to watch because, you know, this is the scariest type of injury for me. It's like one thing if you make a sharp cut like Julian Edelman or Wes Welker and you're like, the knee just, he cut so hard his knee couldn't take it. Or you take a big hit or you get hit. I mean, Garrett Crochet, you get hit with a baseball. But this was just a guy running down with no obvious reason for an injury to occur, and he suffers one of the worst injuries that can occur to an athlete. So, but we're talking about post Tristan Casas, Red Sox. What is the plan at first base? 617-779-7937. Real quick, though, I need to address the text line, which is at that same number, Fitzy. And not a lot of people will get this, but Fitzy, you'll get it. Andy, Fred Kirsch would never defer the taco conversation to a later time. Didn't you learn anything from him? A little bit of a difference.
No, he would not.
Yeah, he would not. We would have done 2 full hours on Patriots.com podcast radio on Taco Talk, and we will get to that at a later date, Stiz, I promise. To put a pin in it. Yes, Dan Ball.
The mics were not on in here, but it was just a topic of conversation with our guy Jacob 5 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, no,
so it's ongoing back here.
It will
and during the commercial break as well. Like Stiz was sending me photos and he, like literally with the caption, Andy, it was a big taco shell. When I say big taco, it was small, narrow, and really disappointing. And the next text from him just said, it gets even more pause-worthy. He goes, how are you supposed to put your meat in this?
No. Some people, it's not a problem.
Others, that's all right. You know
problem.
What, Andy? I don't want to get into it, but I'm glad that we're just letting Big Taco know. They're out there listening, and we're letting them know they're on notice.
And we'll also get into something called operator error. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Darren in Belmont. What is your plan for the Red Sox at first base, Darren?
Before I get to the plan, can I ask you one question and give me an understanding of why he's still coaching? If your team has been in last place 3 out of the last 5 years, your team leads again in errors. Your team leads the league in strikeouts. Your team leads the league in players picked off base. How is Cora not paying the penalty? I don't think he's a good coach. And the team obviously shows it at 18-18 when they went out and they tried to sign some players they thought could contribute to this team.
All right, Darren, fair question. We can get into that. What's your plan at first base?
All right, so Story came over here originally when DeBogarts was at short, and he went to second.
Yeah.
So put Story back at second, put Campbell at first, and put Meyer in the position where he's going to make the longest-term impact and be the most comfortable transitioning from the AAA to the majors. And put Story at second base, less chance to get hurt. He seems like he always gets hurt playing short more than he does at second.
All right, thanks for the call, Darren. That's a new spin on the shakeup in the infield. Dan Ball, I don't know if you're actually keeping track of these. I probably should have brought this up a little while ago when we started taking these plans, but that's a new spin. But most of them in the lead involve Christian Campbell playing first base. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I think that's fair, just because of the profile and the fact that he hasn't really settled on a position yet, and it seems like the other guys have more defined positions that aren't first base.
So let me ask you a question, Fitzy. If Christian Campbell had not played any outfield this year. If Christian Campbell had only played second base in 34 of 36 games and he had a couple days off but hadn't played left field or center field, would as many people be pushing him over to first base, or did they open the door to moving Christian Campbell by already moving him once or twice a week to the outfield?
I think you answered your own question right there.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%. By moving him around so much, showing that you were kind of flip-flopping and hem and hawing on where you think he plays best, or basically having an in-season audition for his defensive position, it raises the question, well, if you're going to pop him in the outfield and you don't believe he's a naturally born second baseman, feels like they put him at second base because there was no obvious answer or a long-term solution there. Well, guess what? Now you've got a glaring, not week-long, not month-long, not rest of the first half of the season till the All-Star break long. You have a full season-long issue opening and availability. There's a vacancy at first base, and you're bandying this guy all about looking for his most natural defensive position. What do you have to lose by playing him at first?
Games. Yes, Dan Ball.
To add on to Fitzy's point, too, this into your question, this started in spring training when you were playing him at second to try to get him reps. Then you moved him to the outfield, and you put Marcelo Meyer there. So you're not even sure out of the big three that he's the starting second baseman.
Yes. My point was, though, if regardless of his defense and regardless of his growth turning double plays, but issues with other aspects of second base play, I think if he had only played second base, we would be getting less calls for him to move to first base. I do think their moving of him, and as you said, Fitzy, that sort of read as a sign that they're not sure where they want him long term, where he fits long term, and now you have an obvious hole, it opens up the opportunity. I will say, on paper, that has the opportunity to be a really good infield with both athleticism, some youth, some potential defense. I mean, if you put Story at second, Meyer at short, and Campbell.
Bregman, Meyer, Story, Campbell, that feels defensively speaking, like the best possible option that you would have. And this is even before we get into Anthony in the outfield talk. Marcelo Meyer told the Midday Show. He told Jones and Keefe.
Yeah.
2 months ago, I feel like I've done enough to make the Major League Ball Club. And he has. But there's a log jam. Guess what? One of the logs tripped and fell the other night and hurt its knee. And now it's time with the opening, since you're unjammed, to fill it in with the guy who that is easily the most deserving and the most talented.
Damn it, Tristan.
Let's squeeze in one more call, 617-779-7937. Ken in the car. What is your solution for the Red Sox problem at first base, Ken?
Hey, appreciate you guys having me on and taking my call.
Thanks for
coming. I mean, my solution is, my solution would be, I mean, I know Bobby Dalbec just got designated for assignment, and we probably don't want to try that again, but you got to just think outside the organization and maybe trade for, like, possibly, like, a Reese Hoskins, like, something like that. Like, you got to think outside if you're not going to put Roman Anthony at first because he's an outfielder. So, I mean, obviously, Breslow kind of shut that down, but I did see recently that Vaughn Grissom was taking reps at first, so maybe he'll be on the come up sooner or later, but maybe Vaughn Grissom for a short time. I mean, I think it's just going to be a circling of players at first until they actually find a solution to fit the rest of the season. I hope not, but I hope they find it sooner than later.
Thanks for the call, Ken. Vaughn Grissom did take some ground balls in the minor leagues, was playing a little bit there. Now, I think that was the plan B for Casas isn't very good. I don't think it was necessarily plan B for, oh, my God, Casas is done for the year. I don't know if it was a long-term solution, Vaughn Grissom. So we continue to get plenty of ideas what the Red Sox should do at first base. I haven't had the chance to give out my plan yet.
I was going to say, you're criticizing everyone else's. Where's your plan, Smack Guy?
We'll get to it at some point. The right one will be mine when I put it out there on the airwaves. But up next,
boy. It's
3 o'clock, Fitzy. That means it's time for the three-point stance. And I'm going to tell you a certain topic and a certain person we should not be talking about anymore. We need to stop talking about someone in Boston sports. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
What am I doing out there, man?
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
On my podcast, Aspire With Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire With Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.